My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Do you wonder why you are unhappy in your relationship but stay anyway? Are you in constant disagreements or arguments with your significant other? Have you attracted your opposite and struggle to find common ground? These are questions that face many of us in our daily lives and may be struggling to answer. What steps do you need to take to address these questions and build a vibrant, healthy, and happy relationship? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Guy Finley, has taken his 4 decades of experience and wisdom as a best-selling self-help writer and internationally renowned spiritual teacher to address these questions. Guy Finley is the author of more than 45 books and audio-video programs, including his acclaimed seminal book, The Secret of Letting Go. His popular books and audio programs, several of which have become international bestsellers, have sold more than 2 million copies worldwide. Considered a modern-day mystic and practical philosopher, Guy's wisdom cuts straight to the heart of today's most pressing personal and social issues, including relationships, success, addiction, stress, peace, happiness, and freedom. His teachings reveal a broader and deeper understanding of life that opens up new possibilities, helps release new energies, and delivers welcome relief from all of life's troubles. Over the past 35 years, he's presented more than 5,000 unique self-realization seminars to thousands of grateful students throughout North America and Europe. Each week, more than 100,000 subscribers in 142 countries read his inspiring Key Lesson e-newsletter, a short inspirational email with powerful lessons on how to improve every aspect of your life. Guy's appeared on more than 700 television and radio programs, including national appearances on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and NPR. He's a regular contributor to Huffington Post, BeliefNet, Positively Positive, and many more. As the founding director of the Life Learning Foundation, a nonprofit center for self-discovery in Merlin, Oregon, he presents 4 self-realization classes weekly. These meetings are ongoing and open to the public. He also hosts online courses through Life of Learning's Wisdom School. In 2011, he launched the One Journey Project, an award-winning interfaith website illuminating the unseen spiritual unity underlying all world religions. He joins me this week to discuss his just-published book, Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Guy Finley. Good evening, Guy.
Good evening, Victor. Nice to be with you.
And so thank you so much for joining us this evening to talk about this very important topic. So before we begin with your book, let's share with our listeners who are meeting you for the first time a little bit about your path and how you arrived upon it.
Oh, my. you know, Victor, honestly, if I said anything at all like I had something to do with what happened to me in this life, I would be lying, other than following what something that came into this life with me gave me to do. From the time I was, I would say 5 or 6 years old, I was sort of bent on this spiritual life. I didn't even know what it was, but I was born into a world where, due to circumstance, my father, who actually was Time Magazine Man of the Year back in the day. I'm nearly 70, so we're talking about some time ago. And I was raised in a show business environment. My father basically invented late night television talk shows before names like Johnny Carson and Steve Allen, Jack Parr, before those people, he brought that whole idea into reality. So as a kid, I ran with the kids of the Sinatras and the Arnezes and the Martins and the Minellis and the sort of the Illuminati of the Hollywood world back in those days. And Victor, I can remember sitting here still wondering what in the world is going on. Why are my mom and dad so anxious? Why the drugs, alcohol? Why the fear? Why are people jockeying for position? What is it exactly that everybody wants? I mean, I couldn't formulate the questions back in those days, but as a young boy, I could feel all of this conflict that was going on in my parents and around me and in me as a boy. And that just started it. It just started it. And then I started asking questions, started writing spiritual stuff when I was 11 or 12. Wound up going into the music business and becoming part of the history, the first white soft rock artist to sign with Motown Records in 1971.
Wow.
Worked with Neil Diamond after that very closely, had an album on RCA. I mean, I was in the business, I was doing good. I wrote scores for motion pictures and television. I mean, I had a good life, what the world would call a good life, and I won't even say it wasn't. I had all the perks, but it just didn't make sense to me, Victor. It just didn't make sense. And in whatever it was, I can't remember, 78, 79, I rolled up my tent, sold everything, went to around the world, went to India, went to a couple places to see if somebody I could meet there could pat me on the head with a peacock feather or do something to this idiot and change him. I came home from that trip realizing that if anything was going to change, it wasn't because of something someone did to me, but something that I would have to learn the hard way. And my journey more or less started at that point in terms of being a writer. I had an incredibly good fortune to meet an illumined man, a true, authentic Christian mystic, by the name of Vernon Howard. I spent 14 years working directly alongside Mr. Howard, became a co-director of his foundation. And when he died, he gave me some instructions, and I left my place in that organization, not wanting to create a schism in it, moved to Southern Oregon, to a little mountain here that I live now, and have been doing my work ever since. And I think that's about as much as I just have
one follow-up question on that. Said that you rolled up your tent and went to India. Was there anything that happened just prior to that that started that calling for you?
Well, actually, in part there was. But see, the calling was always there. I was reading, look, it's on topic, but not relative to the new book. But we all have in us, we're not human if we don't, a kind of dissatisfaction. I call it divine dissatisfaction. Mostly we have no awareness of it because we're too busy pursuing something that will relieve us from that sort of simmering suffering, that unspoken pain. We imagine who we're going to be, what we're going to get, how we'll achieve it, and we're off and running in this world. And for me, I consider myself lucky that life kept showing me unequivocally that even when I achieved these things, that sense of disquiet didn't go away. In fact, in some instances, it was exacerbated. So there were these telling moments in my career, one of which, was so obvious you couldn't miss it. I wrote about it in The Secret of Letting Go, where I realized, you know what? This is not my path. I'm not here to do this. I'm here to understand this life. And that was where it began, and that's what I've been doing for 40 years since.
Perhaps the saying, the call, receiving the calling is the improper way of saying it. Maybe the motivation to take the action step. I think that's what I was looking for, and I think you've just explained that beautifully.
Yeah, no, that's clearly it. I mean, really receiving a call and taking the action step should be a singular action. It's one thing. You know, we see somebody in this life and they hurt us or in some way step on our toes. And, you know, we forgive them. And if they do it again and again and again, then if we're receiving the revelation that maybe this person is incapable of being someone who would be true to us, then in that revelation, we're released from a former attachment. And then the call to action, which is the release, appears one movement eventually.
I actually just went through something similar to that in my own life, in my professional life, in my day job, as we call it, where a position that I was in for almost 40 years, and dissatisfaction with certain situations prompted me literally in a matter of 1 hour to resign that position, and 3 hours later had three offers for positions that were better vested for me and afforded me more, not just compensation on the financial sense, but also respect and appreciation and acknowledgement, which is something that was lacking in the job that I had left that day. So I understand that feeling very, very well. My guest this evening on Destination Unlimited, Guy Finley, he's the author of his latest book, Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together. And we'll be back with Guy on Destination Unlimited after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Some knowledge belongs to us and us alone. The way our girlfriends walk, talk, touch their hair. Details that only a sister can know about her girls. But what about our other girls? The ones we carry with us every day. Our bond with our sister girls gives life. But knowing your breasts can save it. Go to knowyourgirls.org for the facts you need on breast health. Brought to you by Susan G. Komen and the Ad Council.
I'm voting in the midterm elections because
my constitutional rights.
Because my ancestors died.
And to make it better for my children.
The women before me fought.
So we can remain free.
Helping your community out.
Midterm election.
I know every vote makes a difference.
My opinion matters.
I vote.
In the midterm elections.
Register now on IAmAVoter.com. And don't forget to vote Tuesday, November 6th.
Brought to you by I Am a Voter and the Ad Council.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this evening is Guy Finley. We're going to be talking about his brand new book, Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together. Guy, as those of us who've been in long-term marriages and relationships know, maintaining them takes work and dedication. What are some of the biggest problems in today's relationships?
Honestly, Victor, I think today's problems are the same that they've always been. Maybe a little more accelerated because of the way the world that we're in is spinning about. But the single biggest problem is that when we meet someone, become involved in a relationship, a partnership of some kind, we are at first, if you will, the instruments of a very distinct but unseen, unrealized process. And that is, in a nutshell, something about that person stirs in me something that I don't ordinarily get to know. And when they move that in me, I go, this is pretty good. I like the way I feel when I see you smile. I love that twinkle in your eye because it brings up a certain mischievousness in me. Your body knocks me out. I can't have enough of it. I mean, whatever it may be in that moment and in those first weeks and months when we meet somebody, we are drawn together by an intractable attraction, something that is very strong. And so that I can make the point that you've asked me, we have a similar experience in nature. We go out into nature, Victor. I don't know if you live in New York or a part of it that you're able to get out and see much nature, but those moments where we can or do or get to the coast, we all know what it's like to look out and see a magnificent seascape, crashing waves, me on a mountain here in Southern Oregon where the leaves are changing, the birds are hopping back and forth between the feeders. And when I look at these things, I am introduced to a part of myself that prior to that relationship, I'm asleep to. I don't know that I have these kind of feelings, this kind of harmony, this kind of balance until I'm in a relationship that reveals it. So we can understand that, right, Victor?
Absolutely.
So it's very much the same when we meet someone or with someone we've been with for a while. There's something about their nature that stirs something in our consciousness that until we're with that person doing what we are, experiencing what comes, we don't have that awareness of ourselves. So in part, our love for our partner is very much predicated on what they introduce to us in ourselves.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah, where does self-love come into this equation?
Well, boy, that's a loaded word, man. We have to be very careful. Look, I don't have to sit and think to myself, I love the feeling of loving my wife. There's no glory in it. If I derive an identity from it, I'm a fool. It's what unfolds. I walk outside and I see sitting out my window right now a young buck, one of these new baby deer, got his first little horns starting up. He's adorable. That feeling of adoring, I didn't give myself that. I didn't create it. It was given to me through that relationship. We are given to discover things about ourselves that we cannot discover in any other way other than through relationships. This is really the gist of the book. So that what happens, and now to the question about what's the big problem, is that we begin to have an expectation that my wife, my partner, should always bring about this smile on my face, should never under any circumstances contradict what I believe is the source of my contentment when I'm with her, which is to be supportive and consoling, or whatever people, you know, constitute to be a good partnership. So what builds without us knowing it is that our very sense of identity, Victor, becomes vested in the other person's actions. So that essentially we begin to believe without knowing it that who we are and what we are, our value, is somehow connected to what the other person is doing or saying. And the minute that that flips, which is almost inescapable, because you see, first I'm giving myself willy-nilly to these feelings that my wife gives me about myself, as does she with me. But in that heartbeat, in that transition, in that period, it's remanded over to another part of our nature, a sleeping consciousness, whose formulation of my sense of self now depends upon the expectations of my partner. And those expectations form into demands. So that when my partner ceases to do what I expect her to do, Without knowing it, I've come into that moment with an unconscious demand that you have to be what I need you to be. Otherwise, I'm threatened by your action, by your behavior. And then I've got to fix you. And we know what happens when, because of expectations not met by our partner, and then we come with the coercion or the demand that they jump through the hoop that we expect them to do so we can be happy, then in the next moment, then they're doing the same thing with us, because now we're disappointing their expectations of us, and this terrible pattern of resentment starts to form. And that's what happens to relationships without this kind of awareness of what's actually going on when we get to feeling angry, resentful, worried, whatever it is. It's an inside job that gets mistaken as being something being done to us, when in truth, we just don't realize the real dynamic behind that formulation.
Do you see digital technology and communication as enhancing the negative impact on the relationship?
What a good question. Never been asked that before. The short answer is, yeah, I do. I think that while the digital thing is great, I mean, look, you and I, you're in New York, I'm on a mountain in Southern Oregon, and we're having a conversation about something real. Doesn't happen without that revolution. But when that same revolution allows me to send an email to somebody about something that's bothering me or something that I want to say with a genuine emotion, and there it is in plain text, so that it's the avoidance of a moment or something I just want to get over and through. And then you see people everywhere sitting and staring at their personal devices and taking the place of an actual relationship. So that's a limitation, a serious one, I might add. And our children are being brought up along those same lines, where the stimulation produced by interpreting somebody's text becomes the same as what happens if I'm actually with somebody and experiencing that relationship directly.
Yeah. Then the inhibition of true person-to-person communication.
Oh, yeah. Sure. You can be people fire off stuff they'd be terrified because, I don't know. Anyway, the short answer is, yeah, there's benefits and there's negative aspects.
Your book is called Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together. What do you mean by magic?
Let's see, you be advocate for the people joining us. I don't know the details of your relationship, but I know that most of us have similar experiences. How many times, and we don't have to talk maybe if you don't want to, I'll speak for myself. How many times have I been in a situation where somebody disrespects me, somebody does something that's completely counter to any expectation I have, and rather than being patient enough to understand that all I am doing in the moment of resisting their behavior is hiding my own limitation from myself, I blame the person for their behavior, for their limitation. And it never dawns on me that my negative reaction is part of that limitation, because it drives the cycle. So if those moments where, and this is what my book is about, it's possible to begin gaining enough self-knowledge and then practicing to understand that in on the ground, you know, boots on the ground moments with our partner, to realize, you know what, it would be really magical if instead of blaming my partner for my pain, the first thing I did was discover the source of it in myself that my partner merely triggered. Because in that moment, the negative cycle ends. I don't push, therefore she doesn't push back. Pain has a chance to be revealed and healed instead of concealed and continued in an unconscious relationship between two individuals who don't understand why they're suffering the way they are.
And when they do understand, then comes your subtitle, Waking Up Together.
Exactly. That's it. That's the whole thing. The most abundant resource on this planet for producing authentic transformation in you and I and everyone else, giving love a real chance, not the lip service of it, born out of hating some group because you love something they don't, and they deny you what you find satisfaction in. No, a completely different order of relationship with this moment and with everyone else, where, just as you said, my partner becomes a mirror for me, not something for me to polish so that I see myself the way I want to, but a mirror that I allow to polish me, to show me the parts of myself I brought with me through time in my consciousness, unconscious. And every time that tone of voice, that facial expression appears, to be able to turn my attention around and let that change start with me.
Absolutely. My guest is Guy Findlay. He's the author of the brand new book, Relationship Magic. And as we just said, Waking Up Together. Guy, please share with our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about all of the work that you do.
Thank you so much, Victor. The best bet is to go to relationshipmagicbook.com. One word, relationshipmagicbook.com. And right there, you will see what I think is pretty cool. If you order the book, there's links there right through the major retailers. You can receive on the spot the download of the audiobook version that I read. You also get a gift access to a free webinar and follow-up question and answer streamed live right out of my foundation here in Southern Oregon at the end of October and the very first part of November, and it's archived. And you also get, I think it's a 60 or 90 minute MP3 about authentic love. So there's three gifts at relationshipmagicbook.com, and all you have to do is go through the process that happens when you go online there, and everything else takes care of itself. And if you don't want to go to those big guys, I get it. Just all you need is the receipt number, and you can send it into the foundation, and same thing. We're just trying to get this idea out. If you go to guyfinley.org, www.guyfinley.org, that's my website, and right there on the homepage, you can subscribe to the key lessons and all the other things that are possible to receive as a gift when you do.
And we'll be back with more of Guy Findlay and Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together, after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this evening is Guy Findlay. He's the author of the brand new book, Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together. Guy, before the break, we were talking about how we see each other in our relationships. Yeah. What can we learn by seeing ourselves through the eyes of the one we love?
One of my favorite topics. Let's imagine for a moment, listeners, that I'm your partner. little scary maybe, but just for a split second. Or we didn't have to do that. Here I am. I'm with my partner. Now, you be advocate, Victor. If my partner says something to me, for whatever reason, I take it as being passive-aggressive. I hear it as a criticism, maybe toned sweetly, but that's how I take it. Or it's just an out-and-out assault of some kind, born of a displeasure with something that I had done or said. In that moment, is my partner coming to me because my partner's happy and content with me, or in that moment has a pain of some kind triggered my partner into talking or acting out that behavior?
I would say it's a pain of some kind.
Yeah, there's no question. A pain has moved my partner to perceive me anyway as being the party responsible for the suffering. So when my partner speaks to me like that, everybody knows where I'm going. Do I feel immediately happy and content with my partner? Or am I instantaneously put on my back foot? And before I know it, I am in some way defensive or otherwise trying to prove out of my pain that that person, my partner, is mistaken or otherwise wrong for having said or done what she did to me. We get that sort of tit for tat, basically a battlefield where my partner's pain spurs in me a suffering, and my suffering responds in unkindness. That's pretty foregone conclusion, right, Victor?
Yes, actually, in your book, you call it the pain that picks the fight.
Exactly. And that's where we're going with this. It's pain that picks the fight. My wife didn't pick the fight. Something stirred in her, something that was there prior to that moment. Maybe it's something that I've done for a long time, but here's what it means to see our partner through new eyes. When I'm upset with my wife, if I am, all I see is the person who's bothering me. All she sees is the person who's bothering her. I never see my wife's pain when I'm trying to fix her for the pain she's caused me. All I see is what my pain needs to validate and justify its remarks, its actions. So in that moment, I'm assuming if you love someone, you love them. I don't want to hurt anybody. Nobody in their right mind wants to hurt another human being. And yet when that pattern starts, when pain picks the fight, we are unconscious of the fact that the person we are trying to make jump through the hoop so that at least we can stop the fight, feel better about ourselves, whatever it is. In that moment, my partner is in as much pain as I am. And this is where new knowledge is so important. If I love somebody, do I want to make them suffer at all? And it's not just rhetorical. I mean, even if they have done something that hurts me, do I actually want to add pain to the mind and heart of someone I love? And we know the answer to that question. Not one of us would deliberately ever try to consciously hurt another human being. And yet there it is. Bang. The defensive remark, the attack back, the wish that you could make them see where they're wrong at all costs. And so this punishment loop goes on and on, because in that moment, we have forgotten something that's at the heart of my book. It isn't that love has left us in that moment. Love never disappears. Love can't. But we have disappeared to an understanding about love. And that love basically is intended in those moments to step up and say, you know what? I am really mad. I'm suffering. I'm in pain. But so help me, God. I'm not going to add pain to my wife. I'd rather bear. And here's the point. Please, everybody, I'd rather bear what she showed me about myself than try to get her to see the way I see her in that moment. I'm not seeking for her understanding. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is, what is going on in me that insists unless somebody understands my pain, I'm going to have to punish them for it? Do you see the difference, Victor?
Absolutely. Absolutely. How much does early trauma affect the way this takes place?
You know, that's another good question. Look, there's no escaping this. You know, over the 40 years or whatever plus that I've been talking to men and women about these ideas, some people come in and they have had an unbelievably difficult childhood, a terrible breakup, a ruinous relationship of the worst kind. And for the most part, those moments where that happens to us, whether as children or later in our life, we don't know what to do with the pain, Victor. We have no way of understanding it. And so because we don't have the understanding that you and I are talking about and developing through this conversation, or the fundamental knowledge of a higher nature in my new book that explains what this pain is about and what it's actually for, that pain becomes a kind of a seed, something that really gets stuck in our unconscious nature that sits there. And honest to God, that nature waits for something to come and nourish it. Some pain in us will sit and wait for a moment that brings that thing out of the ground so that that identity can suddenly surge to the forefront and we will know beyond the shadow of a doubt who we are. But that's not who we are. We've been remanded over to an unconscious nature that doesn't know what else to do with its pain except blame something else. So to the point, and then I'll shut up so you can ask the next question. That means that in those very moments you've described, if I was able to understand I've come into this moment with something waiting to be disturbed, then at least when it was disturbed, I'd understand my first attention needs to be on the fact that something that was concealed in me has been revealed in me now. And in that revelation, in that light, it can be healed. It can be released because I can finally realize, you know what? That is not who I am, and I'm not going to blame you for my past.
And how can we heal those old patterns, those old recurring patterns?
See, that's the next beautiful thing. Look, if I hurt my body, let's say I God forbid, I break a finger by accident. I don't know what it would be. Everything's a bad picture. I hurt myself. When I'm suddenly in pain, does not my pain alert the whole of my body to the fact that the whole of my body now needs to attend to what I've injured? Isn't that what happens?
Yes.
And the whole of my body might include my own mind that's maybe had some expertise in herbology. Maybe I know something about diet and nutrition, yoga, whatever it may be, so that my mind applies its science. But that science is useless without the rest of the body coming together in a convergence, an action to heal my injured part. It's the exact same thing, Victor, when it comes to these psychological pains. We don't understand that when we are triggered, when we are suddenly brought into an awareness of our suffering, that we throw away the opportunity of being healed by allowing a mind that already going to tell us why we're in pain and then gives us a path, a plan, a false guide, literally a false god, appears in the moment of resisting the condition. And it removes us from an overall awareness of ourselves. And just as the body is called into play as a whole to heal the injured member, so is the whole of spirit called into play when something in our psyche suddenly reveals itself as having been wounded at some point. And we have to learn to cooperate with that kind of healing instead of go through this machination as we keep doing, telling ourselves we know what it means to heal ourselves when we're not healing ourselves. We're just postponing the next pain.
And what are the messages we should be listening for in that situation?
Well, let's see, how do I say this? You know the saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears?
Yes.
Well, we love that idea when the teacher is something in our partner or in a deal, in a negotiation, and something in the world, where the student, the teacher appears, and the student goes, I love the lesson. Holy cow, this is beautiful. We don't want the lesson when the moment brings to us an awareness of something that is hidden in us. That's what we have to understand. Love is the love is a cosmic curriculum. Sorry to say that, but it is. Love is a cosmic curriculum. We are the students. Life is the teacher. And when life comes along and brings something up in us, that revelation of something that we've resisted knowing about ourselves, blaming others for, in that split second, Victor, if we can remain aware of ourselves without letting thought jump in to tell us what to do about what we're aware of, the light of that awareness begins the healing process it revealed as necessary through that moment when the teacher appeared.
And that's the way you fall in love with the teacher.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
And then consequently fall in love with yourself all over again.
And learn that there is a love in yourself that will never let you down, to which has no such thing as a bad fact, and that everything serves once we understand how to serve it properly.
Beautiful. My guest this evening is Guy Finley. He's the author of the new book, Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together. And we'll be back with more of Guy after these words on the Old Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening is Guy Finley. He's the author of the brand new book, Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together. Guy, is it possible to restore a relationship when the partners see the love is waning?
Yes, but not if I look at my partner and see them as the one responsible for its waning. Look, a relationship means an exchange. It means that I am giving, you are taking, you are giving, I am taking. And if that relationship of exchange isn't refreshed, then there's no way in which that relationship can continue to grow. Simple example. Have you ever, I'm a bonsai advocate. I love these, the bonsai trees, little, then they call it nature in a pot, these tiny trees that some of them I've had for 60 years, literally. Some are older than that. If that tree, a rose, is put into a pot and that pot becomes too small for the plant, we know what happens. It becomes root bound. And when it becomes root bound, it ceases to grow. It actually becomes unhealthy, and it will never reach its full possibility as whatever that plant may be. Our relationships are root bound. We're caught up in a world where, because we have a tendency to immediately blame our partner for our unwanted experience of the moment, we, by that blame, produce in them instantaneous resistance. For instance, who amongst us hasn't tried to fix our partner? It just seems to be part of what relationships are about. You aren't what I need you to be. You could be so much more, and that might even be true. And here's what I need you to do. Here's what I want you to be. Now, you as advocate, again, what happens when somebody tells you, you're not quite what I want you to be, and here's what you need to do to be perfect? Do you go, oh, thank you so much for that instruction? Or
you don't give that first answer. No, you don't. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Which means what? Which means that the minute that I'm asking my partner to see a limitation, which I feel is part of the reason that it's waning, the minute I ask him to see it, I've created exactly the opposite experience, haven't I?
Absolutely. You've put them on the defensive, made them feel less than they are.
I've actually produced the opposite of what, perhaps well-intended, I meant to bring about. So in that moment, there they are, and they pull back into a psychological pot, so to speak. And they are in a defensive mode and can only respond to me from that. They have no room to see themselves as I see them. Look, the most important moments in my life, and I know it's true for you, Victor, have been those moments where the teacher appeared, I refused the lesson, the teacher appeared, I refused the lesson, and then one day, just like anybody who's ever gone through any kind of addiction, an abuse, a substance problem, suddenly it dawns on me. And in that moment, there it is, and it's abundantly clear. The world was never the reason I am the way I am. Something in me kept me that way, and I couldn't see it. And when I learn the lesson, I'm released into another world because I've been changed by what I see. We must allow our partners to be changed by giving them the space to see themselves the way we do. And they'll never see themselves as we do as long as we insist that they become what we insist they are. I hope that was clear enough.
Absolutely. And a big lesson, and I think a lot of this comes with maturity, is that before saying something to our partner, to our loved one, to stop and think and make sure the brain and the soul are fully engaged before opening the mouth.
Yeah, I like that. Here's how I say it, because it's not just, you know, I'm not going to say this to my partner because it's going to make them mad. Then we've buried something. But if I can learn to taste what I'm feeling before I serve it to my partner, the odds are I won't serve it to them, and I will have been served by my awareness that that part of me is conducive to nothing that's good in a relationship.
Absolutely. One of the things that I personally have learned is that if I'm about to vocalize something that is better left unsaid at that point in time, I actually have an inner voice telling me, don't say it, don't say it. So I've been blessed in that regard.
And it is a blessing. You want to hear something phenomenal? Everybody, do you know the original meaning? Because what you're saying is, I can feel this pain in me, there's a pressure to say it, but I know better because something is, conscience is showing me that I shouldn't. But in that moment, I have to learn a new kind of patience with myself, don't I? And with my partner.
Absolutely.
And here's what I'm getting at. The original meaning, the old, old meaning of the word patience is to suffer myself. Isn't that beautiful?
That is beautiful. Absolutely.
So we're learning here through new self-knowledge the beauty of patience. And I hope that this doesn't bother anybody, but right out of the New Testament, Scripture, St. Paul, in your patience, possess ye your soul.
Mm.
Look how connected that is. If I can learn to first be someone who is aware of something in me that seems to be smart because it's going to set somebody else straight, and then instead of saying that, acting it out, I taste I get a bite of that serving myself, and I go, God, this doesn't serve anything. It's bitter. It's old. It's dark. Then in that moment, not only have I had a revelation as to something that was concealed in me that was never going to heal because it stayed hidden by blaming, in that moment, I heal and I make space for my partner to heal because I don't add pain to them and they don't push back.
Which is an example of using our relationships to deepen our spiritual understanding and actually draw us closer to the divine, isn't it?
Perfect. Perfectly said, Victor.
Guy, is your book a book that you think that couples should, or you advocate that couples should read together?
I would strongly advocate that. But I would also say that if you happen to be someone who is a little more open, awake, inwardly interested in spiritual truth, and your partner's not, do not sit your partner down and say, let me read this to you. That's not going to work. Learn. If we can grow, we give our partners room to grow. If I don't push back, my partner gets to see that the part of them that wants to punish has nothing to validate it. So beautiful, if you can read this with your partner, you won't believe the difference in your marriage, in your relationship. If you can't, you read it. Learn to instrument and eventually incarnate the principles, which are as old as time. And then in your transformation, you will give your partner the room they need to go through what we all hope we can do, which is become better, loving, more true human beings.
And obviously, this book will also help single people in the same way.
Oh, yeah. You want to avoid like 1,000 years of heartache? Read this book. Look, this is the manual for the operation of the heart that was never written, that we never saw. It's actually an introduction to love, to its magnetics, to how resistance serves what is true instead of ruining it, and how we can, with one another, begin changing ourselves by using each other in the real meaning of the word to develop ourselves.
Now, the teacher, obviously, is the master. You and your beloved have been together, and is it a 40-year marriage? Is that correct?
Yeah, we've been together for just under 40 years.
What is the secret to having a successful, lasting 40-year almost marriage?
Oh, Victor, you know, I know this is going to sound incredible, but with God as my witness, it's true. In nearly 40 years, we've never raised our voice at each other. And I think it's because when we met in our late 20s, we were both already on this path. I had We had both seen enough about what love is and can do to understand that love is the answer, and that when we are shouting or angry or upset with one another, that the real task in that moment, as I said, is not to bring more pain into our partner's life, but first to realize the part of ourselves that believes there's any value at all in making someone else see their wrong. God Almighty, how many times have we tried to make someone see their wrong? To what end? And further, to what end any fight between two people who love one another? We cannot win a fight. Both lose the moment the gloves come on, because love is put aside for the sake of self-confirmation.
And in this togetherness, I'm sure you've had new discoveries every day.
That's the beauty of it. Absolutely. You're talking to someone, our relationship is the ground of discovery. Every relationship is the ground of discovery. That's what we're talking about. That's how it doesn't go stale. is by realizing we are in this dynamic relationship where energies never stop converging and producing something new to see and therefore to be. So it renews itself.
Beautiful. What a wonderful, inspiring, and lovely share. My guest this evening on Destination Unlimited, Guy Finley. He's the author of the brand new book, Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together, that he and his beloved have been doing for nearly 40 years. That's so wonderful. Guy, please tell our listeners one more time where they can get your book and find out about all of your work.
The first thing would be to go to relationshipmagicbook.com. relationshipmagicbook.com. You'll see instructions there, and if you follow them, the minute that you order the book, you will be sent a free download of the audio version of the book that I've read. You'll also receive an invitation to a live-streamed webinar, a two-part live-streamed webinar, and you'll get a download of a special talk that I gave about seven ways that we can increase the way that we love each other and are good to each other. So there's those gifts at relationshipmagicbook.com. And for just information and free resources for the rest of your life, including the key lesson that we send out to everyone once a week, go to guyfinley.org. GuyFinley.org.
Guy, thank you so much for joining us and bringing this wonderful information and this loving information to our listeners. Thank you.
What a great opportunity, Victor. I thank you.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.